Monsieur le Président, Madame la Présidente,
President of the Senate, Mesdames Speaker of the Lower House, dear Senators, dear Members of the Lower House,
merci mille fois
thank you a thousand times over for your very moving messages. I am flattered to have been invited here by the presidents of the two chambers to speak here at this illustrious setting, which can be seen as the upper house of French Parliament since 1789. I am well aware that I am visiting before the official resumption of the two sessions of Parliament, so I must apologize to have interrupted your holidays.
C'est la raison pour laquelle je suis très touché.
This is why I am very moved to see you present here today. Your long-lived democracy can be seen in the long friendship which brings our nations and peoples together. Our partnership is built on a shared experience, and it is of vital importance as we face the challenges of the world. Quite simply, the United Kingdom shall always be one of the closest allies and one of the best friends of France. Yesterday, my wife and I started our visit at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There we commemorated all those who died to defend the freedom which is so dear to our two countries. In the heart of this great nation, we paid silent tribute, standing together in solidarity, side by side with you, as our country stood side by side so often in the past.
I was reminded that it was there, at the Arc de Triomphe, 16 months ago, that with characteristic generosity of spirit, you marked the platinum jubilee of my beloved mother, the late Queen Elizabeth II. On that occasion, President Macron described Her Late Majesty as the golden thread that binds our nations. Comme ma mère est décédée l'année dernière,
when my mother died last year, my family and I were greatly moved by the tributes made to her throughout France. This morning, I reread the very moving messages of condolence which Your Excellencies and the Presidents of the two Houses of Parliament wrote at the time. You described the late Queen, Her Majesty, as the embodiment of British democracy with true dignity and in all permanence. I cannot describe just how important these words for me and for my family. All I can do is thank you and thank the people of France for the great kindness you expressed to us and to all our people at a time of such sorrow.
Dans la riche et complexe tapisserie de la relation entre
in the rich and complex tapestry of the relationship between France and the United Kingdom, the golden thread which my mother was shall always shine forth. I wish for her to continue to provide us with inspiration to weave further bonds between our two countries with determination, with hope, and with love.
Ladies and gentlemen, inspired and encouraged by my grandmother's and my late mother's example, France has been an essential part of the fabric of my own life for as long as I can remember. Indeed, as I have been astonished to discover, this is my 35th official visit to France. Each and every time, I have been struck by the warmth of the welcome I have always received, and by the immense good that can be accomplished when France and the United Kingdom work together. Now, on the occasion of my first state visit to France, my belief in the indispensable relationship between our countries is as firm as it ever has been. Today, in confronting the greatest challenges of our time, we continue the work of those who came before us. When General de Gaulle spoke to the French people from London in June of 1940, he said, "Remember this, France does not stand alone. She is not isolated. She can make common cause with the British." De Gaulle's confidence in our alliance was well-founded. 2 days before the Appel du 18 juin, Sir Winston Churchill's government had offered France an indissoluble political union, which would have allowed our two peoples to continue the fight for justice and freedom as a single country. Just 2 months after that historic broadcast, my grandfather, King George VI, proudly wearing the crimson ribbon of the Légion d'honneur, joined de Gaulle at Morville Camp near Aldershot to inspect 2,500 of the Free French troops. The common determination expressed that day sustained us through the long and bitter years of that war and drove us forward together to victory. Cette éclatante illustration de notre engagement envers la liberté et la démocratie reste d'actualité. Aujourd'hui, nos forces armées s'entraînent ensemble au sein de la force expéditionnaire conjointe franco-britannique, se déploient ensemble avec les troupes de maintien de la paix de l'ONU et par le Conseil de sécurité de l'ONU, le G7 et l'OTAN, assument ensemble une responsabilité jointe pour la sécurité européenne et mondiale. Aujourd'hui,
today, more than 80 years after we were fighting side by side for the liberation of Europe, we are once again up against an unjustified attack on our continent. Our determination and our alliance are more important than ever. Together, we shall stand by the people of Ukraine with determined solidarity. Together, we shall not move. Our determination shall not be moved. Ukraine will triumph, and our cherished freedom will prevail.
These horrifying events have once more demonstrated the fragility of so much that we hold dear. Just as we stand together against military aggression, so must we strive together to protect the world from our most existential challenge of all, that of global warming, climate change, and the catastrophic destruction of nature. Jacques-Yves Cousteau a dit si sagement, pour la meilleure partie de l'histoire, l'homme a dû combattre la nature pour survivre.
For most of history, man had to fight nature to survive. But in this century, he's starting to realize that to survive, he must protect nature. This vision is even more relevant now in the 21st century. Despite the extent and severity of the challenges our planet is confronted with, it is encouraging to see that measures measures taken by our governments and citizens, and increasingly by the private sector, have been taken. I think that for a long time now, we can see that our companies have been playing an essential role, working in partnership and in harmony with our governments and our people. They have invested billions to develop solutions which will make it possible to have a successful transition towards a sustainable world. This afternoon, with President Macron, I shall be meeting corporate heads of French and British companies and their collaboration, innovation, and investments in clean growth and the protection of our invaluable biodiversity are a key part of global leadership, which is so essential. I have been thinking about the opportunities that we have between members of the Commonwealth and the International Organization for Francophonie. I sincerely hope that there will be opportunities for future collaboration. For example, we could find a way of having greater cooperation for sustainable development.
Our two governments are working in partnership to address so many global challenges. And yet, as ever, it is our people who are the true driving force of our relationship. Our friendship and warm familiarity are fortified by each new connection between us. It is renewed by each newfound joy in the culture of the other, and each reminder of how much we share. Millions of us visit each other's countries every year, a joy that we are now rediscovering after the disruption wrought by the pandemic. Tens of thousands of British rugby fans are currently following their national team around France, enjoying the fantastic spectacle of the Rugby World Cup. My son and daughter-in-law among them. Even when our national teams are drawn up on opposite ends of the pitch, they do so with mutual admiration and a shared commitment to the rules of the game, on which I will say only, Pas de coup bas et que le meilleur gagne. And of course, hundreds of thousands of our fellow citizens have chosen to live their lives permanently in each other's countries. This vibrant exchange between our people makes us immeasurably stronger, happier, and more prosperous. Nos artistes continue.
Our artists are continuing to find inspiration for one another, as they have always done it in the past. They are combining the old and the new, creating complex and enriching works. There are the unforgettable paintings of London by Claude Monet, the London fog, which was such a source of fascination for French visitors, some of the earliest examples, and we can see more recent examples with the iPad works by David Hockney, where he has the changing landscapes in Normandy. There are also, for example, the innovative collaboration with the British designer Paul Smith and the Picasso Museum in Paris. We can see here that there is universal scope in our shared artistic traditions. In fact, at this very moment, my beloved wife is celebrating this artistic partnership by launching the first Franco-British Literary Award, which will be a prize for outstanding contemporary fiction works published in French and in English. And she's doing this at the magnificent French National Library.
My wife and I will visit Bordeaux, the first city to be twinned with a British city, Bristol, in 1947. This shared link is just one of a countless number of connections between our towns and cities, our communities, our businesses, and our educational establishments. It is our people, through all that they do together, who are writing each new chapter of our history, so that a more secure, more prosperous world might be the inheritance of the next generation. Our young people must, therefore, be at the heart of our shared endeavors. Ce matin, je me réjouis
du 19e arrondissement de Paris et de Saint-Denis.
This morning, I'm pleased to see young people from the 19th arrondissement in Paris and Saint-Denis who have received support for starting professional work, and this is done through initiatives with the clubs and different organizations. When we support our young people, we are investing in our future, and there will be many and many a return on this investment. President, Madam Speaker, Senators, members of the Lower House, just under 120 years ago, my great-great-grandfather, King Edward VII, gave a commitment on behalf of the United Kingdom for the Entente Cordiale, the link between our two countries. We could say that this link was sanctified by the extraordinary sacrifices of the past century and has been enhanced with each example of our joint work and vision. It is now in our hands. It has been passed on with great pride from father to daughter, from mother to son, as it has been through the different generations of my own family. For the time that I shall be granted to rule as king, I give a commitment to do everything I can, everything in my power, to strengthen the essential relationship between the United Kingdom and France. And today, I would urge you to join me in this effort. Together, our potential is boundless. That is why we must cherish and maintain our Entente Cordiale. We must renew it for future generations so that it becomes, as I would suggest, it also becomes an entente for sustainability so that we can have a more effective response to the emergency situation for climate and biodiversity around the world. We have a commitment to one another and a commitment to the values which we share with such pride. It is a commitment inspired by the example of the past and which we are encouraged us to take on the huge challenges of the world around us now. As neighbors, as friends, as partners, and as allies, there is no challenge that we cannot take on, as we have taken on challenges so often in the past. Let us move ahead with hope and courage, and let us do it together.